This class is L'schus in merit of Moshe ben Nechaleah. The title of this class is Booz Shmooz. This class is solely intended for educational purposes. It does not in any way replace a Rav. Any questions regarding your kasher standards should be discussed with your Rav. The question comes up, does vodka need a hashgacha? Does alcoholic drink need a hashgacha? Is beer okay without a reliable hashgacha? And so on and so forth. And today we'll be covering these topics generally, as well as attaching very comprehensive articles and lists on the matter. Just to give some general rules, the first general rule is any type of alcoholic drink, no matter what it is, that has added flavor automatically is problematic and needs reliable hashgacha, no matter what. The moment there is added flavoring, and one should look carefully to see if there's added flavoring. If there is, it is not acceptable, and it needs reliable hashgacha. Another issue, which is common and a general issue, is that alcoholic beverages that are made from the grains that are chametz, could it have an issue of chametz she'avar lav Pesach, chametz that was owned by a Jew over Pesach, which the Chachamim say is asur banah, it's forbidden to have any sort of benefit from it. The ones we need to be more careful with are things made in America, like ryes, bourbons, American whiskey. There are many companies out there which are Jewish-owned and which don't sell their chametz. One should look at the lists, which we will attach, that get into details of which ones are sold, which ones aren't, as well as the link, which we will send together with the shiur. So that's another thing to be aware of, that even if something is 100% kosher without any questions, if it was owned by a Jew over Pesach, and which anything that's aged for sure was owned by a Jew, if the Jew owns the company, then that would be a problem of Chametz she'avar lav Pesach. We can't have any hana, any sort of benefit from it. A general question which comes up in halacha when it comes to these types of alcoholic beverages, usually the way it's done is the grain at a certain point in the process is cooked. We're not going to get into all the details. It's cooked with hot water, hot liquid. And the question comes up in halacha, is that an issue of bishul akum? It was cooked by a non-Jew. And it's explained that it's not an issue since those grains afterwards are mixed with lots of liquid, and ultimately these grains are not what the person drinks. They obviously had a very strong influence on the liquid, but the liquid ultimately is the main product, and it says that the grains become nullified and become insignificant, and therefore the main thing is liquid, which liquid, water, according to halacha, there's no issue, doesn't have the issue of bishul akum, and therefore these types of drinks do not have an issue of bishul akum. So we're not going to cover various alcoholic drinks in alphabetical order, and we're going to mention some possible concerns and some reasons to avoid, some reasons not to avoid. It is worthy to mention that even from all the lists that exist out there, there is a difference between an approved alcoholic beverage and a certified alcoholic beverage. Certified means it has a reliable hashgacha, which is involved in the process from A to Z, and there's no possible questionable thing going on. We're not relying on any kulis, on any leniencies, on any heterim, and we know what's going on in this process, and we are certain that it is kosher. However, approved items is based on information that was given to Hashgacha by the factory, based on various, could be leniencies, based on assumptions, based on chazakas, and all that together, we get the Hashgachas put a list and say that this is approved, but it does not mean it's certified. And obviously, if someone could get something certified, it is of a higher, more mahudr level. But still, something that's approved could be acceptable. But we know for sure when something is certified, that has no questions whatsoever, and there's clarity regarding its kashrus from beginning to the end. We're not going to get into the detailed process of every single alcoholic beverage because it's beyond the scope of this class. However, we'll mention that there are many times yeast and enzymes which are used in producing many types of alcoholic beverages, and these could possibly sometimes have kashrus concerns. However, since usually there isn't a kashrus concern, And as well, since it is usually highly batal, that's not something that isn't a problem and that one has to be concerned of. Obviously, when the hashgacha is giving an hashgacha on a alcoholic beverage that contains yeast or enzymes or any of those, they will not rely on that, and they will make sure that the yeast or the enzyme, so on and so forth, is actually kosher certified and is acceptable. So the first alcoholic drink which we'll discuss is beer. Beer, obviously, again, unflavored beer. And unflavored beer is acceptable without hashgacha unless it is done in a brewery which also does non-kosher flavored beers, and this beer shares equipment with this non-kosher flavored beer. For example, there is, just to give an example, there's a beer from Budweiser which actually has in it clam juice, and we'll send pictures with this cheer of that beer. Now, it doesn't mean that all Budweiser beers are an issue. This beer happens to be accessible more in Mexico, and specific factories make it. So therefore, beers from that factory would want to be avoided since they're done in the same equipment as beer that has clam juice. Now, generally, the mainstream big beer companies do not produce real treif flavors, and the flavors are not enough to make an issue with the equipment. And plain beer that's done on equipment on the mainstream big factories is usually fine. However, at the moment we get involved with smaller breweries or local breweries, then there's a problem because these breweries have much less of official standards, and they try many weird things and many very treif ingredients to produce unique flavored beers. And therefore, anything coming from a local type of small brewery is an issue, and one should avoid it. So a person may ask, how does one know if it's a small type of brewery, a microbrewery, or if it's a mainstream large company? So one way to know is if a beer is only available in the local region and nowhere else on the market, then it's most likely a microbrewery. And all beers from microbreweries, even if it's a plain, simple, straight-up beer, should be avoided because the equipment over there could be very treif with very interesting ingredients that the microbreweries decide. Obviously, as well, besides for that, one should, if beer comes from Israel, it should be avoided. And there are also many beers which contain lactose, which is milchic. They're called milk stouts or other types of stouts. And one needs to make sure that if it's a milchic stout, a milk stout, obviously besides for the fact that it's for sure not Chalav Yisrael, it could have kashrus concerns as well. Another possible kashrus concern which comes up in beer is that many times in order to clarify the beer, to make it nice and clear and to bring any sediment that's floating throughout the beer to the bottom, there is a type of gelatin used or something more specific called isinglass, which is a type of gelatin that's made from the bladder of fish like sturgeon, or some even make it out of catfish. This gelatin-like product is obviously not kosher. However, it's discussed in Halacha, the Nedei Yehuda discusses it, that it's still permissible to drink beer even if it was clarified with isinglass, since this type of gelatin floats to the bottom, doesn't give off any taste, doesn't give any effect. All it does is just catches the particles, clarifies the beer, and then later on it is removed and is not part of the beer, and it is totally fine to drink such a beer. Domestic beers created in the U.S. and Canada do not have gelatin or isinglass used in them. However, beers coming in from Europe and the like, especially from Britain, could have that issue, but again, in halacha, it's discussed, and it's okay. Obviously, if a reliable hashgacha is giving certification for a beer, they will not rely on this heter, on this kula, and they will make sure that only kosher ingredients without any questions are being used inside of the beer. Now, there are some alcoholic beverages that are made directly from grape alcohol and are totally usher, obviously, if it's made from non-kosher grape alcohol. These are brandy. Brandy is namely basically a grape alcohol beverage, as well as vermouth, as well as cognac. and as well as grappa. These are purely made from grape alcohol, and they're totally not acceptable. There are other alcoholic beverages that could be made out of grape alcohol, and there's a very strong possibility that they are, and therefore they also cannot be consumed. One of them is called ouzo, another one is called arak. Another possibility which could happen when it comes to different types of whiskeys or bourbons, ryes, and the like, is that they are aged in barrels that contained wine in them previously. It is more common by Scotch and Irish and Japanese whiskey, but it could be as well possible by other whiskeys. And one knows that there's problematic casks involved when they see certain types of wording on the bottle. When you see that, you can be sure that there was some type of wine casks involved, and one should avoid the bottles. For example, if one sees double or triple matured or finished, if you see that term, or if one sees the word French cask or dual finish or European cask, these are all types of words used when there is wine casks involved. Also, there will be clearly types of wines casks mentioned on them, like, for example, wine casks like sherry, which is a type of wine, or Oloroso, which is a type of wine, port, Madeira, Sauternes, Shiraz. These are all types of wine, and they use the casks afterwards to age the whiskey or scotch, and those will that will be clearly stated on the bottle. If any of these terms are written on the bottle, one should not use that bottle due to it being aged in something that in a cask that had wine in it. Canadian whiskey has very common, or almost always has, a little bit of wine added to it, even though it's a very small amount, just about 1%. Nevertheless, since it does happen, one should avoid it, even though it is technically, according to halacha, it is batal, and one could ask the Rav if they could drink it, but definitely the chatchila, it's something that should be avoided, and therefore it is not listed on the approved lists, because we know that for sure it does contain something not kosher, although it is batal. Now, American whiskeys also have a type of wine added to them. However, it is known that the type of wine that is added to American whiskeys is not a grape wine based. Rather, it is based from other grains, and therefore it's not an issue. And American whiskeys are not an issue as long as, again, they are not flavored and not aged in problematic casks. When it comes to rum, if it's unflavored, it's okay to drink. Even spiced rum is already an issue. Spiced rum has added flavor to it. We're talking about plain, unflavored rum. Plain rum is usually see-through without any color to it. Sometimes they do add color to rum with a caramel color. Caramel color is okay. It's not an issue, and that's still fine. Again, one still needs to look out to make sure it was not aged in possible wine casks. Regarding tequila, whichever color, whether it's añejo, reposado, or gold, if it's unflavored, it's okay. As it is, doesn't need reliable hashgacha. Sometimes some put a worm inside of the tequila, so if there's a worm in the bottle, that should not be drunk. Obviously, as well, if it's aged in any type of wine casks, which it would say Bordeaux or other types of wine casks that we mentioned earlier, other terms that we mentioned earlier, one should avoid it. When it comes to vodka, if it's 100% pure grain vodka, one does not have to be concerned, and it's fine. However, one needs to be very careful, because there are times when vodka could be made from whey, which comes from milk, as well as it could be made from grape alcohol, which is common in many places, especially places like France and New Zealand and Australia. So one needs to give extra attention to know that it's 100% pure grain vodka. Now, there are some vodka companies that is known that they're done on the same equipment as other vodka, which is problematic. And therefore, when we look at lists of certain hashgachas, they will say certain vodkas are not acceptable because it is known that they're done on problematic equipment. However, regular vodka that says 100% grain vodka, and we do not know of any issues, could be assumed to be fine. When it comes to sake, which is a type of rice-based alcohol, there can be some possible cautious concerns, and therefore it is better to drink the pure premium types of sake, which will be labeled Honjozo or Jinjo or Deijinjo, which these are type of sakis that are most pure and do not cannot have any possible issues with them. Regarding a little bit more in-depth approach to scotches and whiskeys aged in wine casks, there's a lot of misinformation out there, a lot of myths, and based on that, people say it's permissible, it's allowed. And there are some chuvas as well out there, which explain how it's permissible. However, if one looks at the chuvas, they were written a long time ago, over 50 years ago. And one chuva, which we have from Reb Moshe, isn't at all dealing with the type of sherry casks that we have today. It's dealing with some wine being mixed into the whiskey, and he makes it permissible based on bittul and other concepts, and that does not apply to sherry casks or other wine casks. As well, there's a tshuva from the Minchas Yitzchak, which speaks about different heterim and also mentions that from what he's seen, it cannot be tasted, the taste of the wine casks cannot be tasted. And in truth, in those days, that's how it was. But in the past 20-plus years, there's been a very, very big change in the industry. And when they are making sherry casks, they are ordering custom-made sherry casks coming in from Spain, and they make sure they're paying thousands of dollars for it to be loaded with the top-of-the-line wine, sherry wine. And this sherry wine soaks in there for a very long time until it's really fully absorbed in the walls. These casks are shipped to Scotland with still about 15 liters of wine or more inside of them, full as they are built. They don't take them apart. And as it gets to Scotland, they use them almost right away, within a few days, within 24 hours, so that they still get as much possible of that wine taste into the scotch. And many times, they even leave the 15 liters of wine in there. So it has actual wine in there. It has wine that's inside the walls. And it clearly does affect the scotch. Anybody which has tasted sherry wine, which is not available in kosher, but people that have tried it and tried sherry whiskey, clearly can taste the sherry in there. And it's something which is clearly there. There's a lot of myths out there. Some say that once they come to Scotland, they burn out all the sherry. Any professional which hears this laughs how this is crazy. They wouldn't pay thousands of dollars to get the taste of the wine and then burn it. That does not happen at all. The burning happens in Spain before they load them with wine. They burn the casks. It never does happen once the wine was put in there. And that's inaccurate. Some say that they're dried out and washed. That's also totally inaccurate. And that's not the case. And therefore, it could be very problematic. And one needs to ask the Rav, but one needs to present the Rav with the right information, because there's a lot of myths out there. Now, some bottles will not state any casks or any wine casks or any type of description which connotes that there is any type of wine casks. And some Ashgachas say that's enough, that one can feel comfortable and drink this bottle. However, others are not comfortable because there are many bottles out there which have blends and could have a very small amount of the sherry or of wine-aged whiskey or scotch mixed into it. And since it's a blend and it's so small the amount, they don't mention it. And it could still have it in there. So it's a dispute amongst Hashgachas what is acceptable. And one should ask the Rav what's acceptable. If one wants to keep the strictest approach and only drink scotch, whiskey, and those things which have zero influence of Stam Yenam whatsoever at all, there is a list that's put together and which we'll send together with this year, which covers that in detail. As well, we will attach a comprehensive guide on sherry casks and the like, and the history of sherry casks, and the myth-busting as well, as when it comes to sherry casks.
This is a follow-up to the Booze Schmooze class on various alcoholic drinks. Someone asked that sometimes on a bottle of scotch, even though it doesn't officially flavored, it will say that this bottle has hints or notes, and it'll say things like vanilla or spices or floral or smoky or many other things. Are those added flavors, and therefore is that it makes it problematic, or is that something else? So the answer to that question is these notes and hints that a bottle may describe that you should be experiencing when you drink this is the things that come naturally from the malted barley or throughout the distillation process or the aging in the casks. Different flavors can basically be introduced to this whiskey, but it's not added flavor. It could be coming from the wood, from the smokiness of the cask that may have been toasted, or from the malted barley itself, or if there are wine casks. And all these, obviously wine casks would be a problem, but all these tastes and notes are not added flavors. So unless it says something specifically flavored, it's clearly described as flavored. If it just says in the description of the scotch that you'll taste notes of this and that and vanilla, whatever else it mentions, that's not of concern. And that's still considered unflavored scotch.
This update was added in March of 2023 under Tavshin Pei Gimel. Recently, there have been more and more discoveries of potential issues with beers, especially beers coming from smaller companies. But even in bigger companies, there's more potential issues coming up. And therefore, it's becoming less and less recommended to buy beers unless they are certified. There are many lists out there, but a lot of the lists out there are just approved beers, and approved means that someone made a phone call, asked a few questions, and approved it. Things could change any day, and approval is becoming less and less recommended, and the better route to take is to get certified beers. And Baruch Hashem, there are over 150 beers out there in the market that are certified with Hashgacha. And you can find them on the CRC's liquor list. They will mention which beers are certified, and therefore it's highly recommended to stick to certified beers to avoid any potential questions or kashrus concerns. Another topic which comes up is chametz she'avar lav Pesach. Chametz that was owned by a Jew over Pesach is totally forbidden and forbidden to have any hana, any benefit from, and it is very common to have bourbons coming out of a Kentucky that are owned by Jewish families, and they do not sell their chametz on Pesach, therefore the bourbon would be forbidden. Attached are some pictures of some bourbon brands that are problematic, and therefore one should always be careful. There's a very clear list posted on bourbonrabbi.com of which ones are problematic and which ones are okay, but one needs to be aware that bourbon could be an issue.